Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabuni, which means teacher. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So for those of you that might not remember caller ID, before that, you didn't know who was calling you. So you'd pick up the phone. But did you ever pick up the phone and the moment they said that first word, you knew exactly who it was that was talking to you? You recognized their voice. That was your long-lost friend. That was your best friend that was calling you. You can recognize voices. Mary heard the voice of Jesus, and one word changed everything for her. This passage that we just read is about the resurrection story, and it says that early in the morning, before the break of day, Mary and Simon Peter and John go rushing to the tomb. This morning, before the break of day, we set up a portable altar there on the beach, and over 250 people came to celebrate the risen Jesus. But you might say, yeah, but you know, dead people, they don't come back to life. But there's three things that that one word did, not just for Mary, and not just for Simon, Peter, and John, but for all of us. And the three things that we can take from this passage are this. First of all, we go from doubt to trust. We go from fear to love. And lastly, we go from sorrow to joy. We go from doubt to fear. Now, here's the thing. 56 years ago, human beings made their way to the moon. And you might say, well, yeah, people back in the first century, they were really gullible, but we have doubts. And doubt is such a good thing to be proud of in our 21st century. Well, 56 years later, you can go on to the internet, right? And there are people that say, we faked the first moon landing and we're faking this takeoff too. All you do is step out into your front yard on Wednesday, right? And you saw that rocket going up. And it was amazing, wasn't it? But even with incontrovertible proof like that, we still think that. I mean, I remember just 2 days ago seeing this picture. And as I looked at it, NASA claimed that it was from the Artemis, and it was a picture of the Earth. And, you know, come on, if you're a flat earther like me, you're thinking, why does NASA keep sending these pictures that are showing the wrong picture of the world? We know the world is flat. I'm kidding, I'm not a flat earther. But the point is, we kind of pride ourselves in doubt, but people were just as gullible in this century as they were back in that century, and people were just as doubting back then as we are doubting today. And I could go through a whole set of philosophical and theological and historical reasons why the resurrection is true. And you know what? By the time I get to argument number three, you've already forgotten about argument one and two. But if you do want to go through those, I'd be more than welcome to take you out for a coffee and chat it through. But the only one I do want to kind of leave you with, which is there's lots of reasons why you can believe the resurrection, but the first one is just the simple one of that I don't want you to engage in chronological snobbery, thinking that in the 21st century, we're way better than the people in the first century. They had just as many reasons to doubt the resurrection as we do. In the first century Jews did not believe in the resurrection like we do. They believed in the resurrection way in the future, in the distance, a general resurrection for everybody. But in the here and now, individuals didn't rise from the dead. They were just as prone to disbelieve in the resurrection as we are in the 21st century. And that was the Jews, right? But go to the Greeks. The Greeks didn't believe in the resurrection either. In fact, Plato, in a play on words, said that the soma, the body, is the sema. The soma is the tomb that encloses, the body is the tomb that encloses the body. And so they didn't believe in the resurrection. For the Greeks, the spirit world was all that is, and the body and the physical world was all bad. Greeks were just as predisposed to not believe in the resurrection. But something happened on that Easter Sunday. One word changed everything. And these doubts that Simon Peter and John and Mary had melted away like the morning mist. One word changed everything. They saw an empty tomb, and they couldn't come up with a reasonable explanation for why it was gone. Maybe someone stole the body. Maybe Jesus swooned, or maybe it's like some, when I was at seminary, I remember one professor there in Oxford saying, well, Jesus was just thrown into a common grave. That's what they did with everyone who was crucified back then. There wasn't a special grave for him that was made by Joseph of Arimathea. It was just a common grave. And so you're never going to find the body because it was a common grave. And Jesus did rise from the dead 200 years after the fact in his disciples' heart. Do you know what that type of resurrection is? That's not an Easter Sunday resurrection. That's a Good Saturday resurrection. And that's pretty unresurrected. In fact, it is the most sad thing ever. St. Paul said, if Jesus Christ be not raised from the dead, we are the most to be pitied. But something happened that changed those disciples, that changed Mary and Simon Peter and John and the 12. And then later on, he will appear to 120 in an upper room and 500 at a different time. Jesus rose from the dead, and his followers went from doubt to trust. The second thing that we find in this passage is that we go, and Mary goes, from fear to love. Now, if you think about fear, what is the opposite of fear? You might think courage. In fact, at our early morning service, at our 8:30 service, there's this gentleman by the name of Art, who's 93 years old, and he, similar to me, jumped out of perfectly good airplanes for no apparent reason, but that was back in 1951. And the whole point about jumping out of airplanes, the idea is that the U.S. Army thought, just like the old Spartans, if we can conquer one fear, then you can conquer any other fear. I mean, that's similar to like me with my daughter Zippy. I took her to Animal Kingdom 2 weeks ago, and I said, look, Zippy, are you ready to do your first roller coaster ever? And I took her on Expedition Everest. And the moment she conquered that fear, she's like, we're going to do all of the roller coasters now. But do you know what makes you conquer fear? Not courage, not ignoring it, but love. People might join the army for various reasons. But the only reason you actually fight in war is because of love, not because of mom, dad, or apple pie. And the reason why you're going to go on Expedition Everest is because of love. Because you trust the person that says, Dad and Mom, we've done Expedition Everest before. It's all right. We've done it. We survived. You can survive it too. Jesus has gone where no one has gone before. And that's not Star Trek. That's not like the rocket ship Artemis II going where no one has gone before. In fact, these four folks are going further than any human being has gone in world history. And yet, you know what Victor Glover said, the first African-American to go the furthest in space? He said, you know what? He said, what do you think about Easter with that approaching? He said that yesterday in an interview. He said, Easter is super important because, you know what? It doesn't matter whether you're on Earth or on the moon. We all need Jesus. Hamlet, in Act 3, Scene 3, in his famous monologue, To Be or Not to Be, said this: Death, that undiscovered country from where no man returns. And the thing is that that's actually not true. Someone has been to that undiscovered country and returned, and Jesus has punched a hole into death and come back. On my class ring from West Point, inscribed on the inside, me and my best friend had it inscribed, John 15:13. It says this: greater love has no man than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. You see, because of Jesus' love, Mary is filled not with fear, but with love. Peter, who just 3 days prior to this event, he's sitting that Thursday night in a courtyard at Jesus' trial, and a burly fisherman that he is, a little servant girl comes up to him and says, aren't you a follower of Jesus? And he says, I never knew the man. He's afraid. And yet 50 days after Easter, on the Feast of Pentecost, Peter will get up and give a bold speech in front of 3,000 people, because love has transformed him. He's no longer afraid, but love has given him courage. And that's what Jesus' resurrection wants to give to you today, to take you from doubt to trust, from fear to love. But lastly, what Jesus' word, one word that changes everything is this. He takes our sorrow and turns that into joy. I remember in 2008, I received a phone call from my mother, and she'd just been diagnosed with a brain tumor. And she was 68 at that moment, and that's one of those moments. We live most of our life not thinking about our own mortality, not thinking about anyone else's mortality, because it's just, we don't like to do that. We don't think we're afraid of death, but we all are. And when death comes impinging in, we're reminded of that. And I remember my mom seemed really calm on the other line on the phone. She was over in Spain. This is 2009. And I was like, Mom, why are you calm? Why is this all right for you? And you know what? She said, I was just reading my Bible, and I just happened to light upon the verse of Psalm 118. I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. You see, Jesus takes our sorrow and transforms them into joy. You don't need to be afraid or sorrowful about death, because he lives, so too shall we live. As St. Paul says, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living in you and is living in me. If you've put your faith and trust in him, death is no longer the undiscovered country. But Jesus has opened up the gate to life and immortality. After 4 years, due to complications from that, my mother did pass away. And yet, I still believe those verses to be true. I shall not die. Every single one of us. I read a statistic recently, and it said that one in one human beings are going to die. So, hate to break it to you, but you're all going to die. But that doesn't have to be the case. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life to the full. And that brings joy. I mean, think about, read Irenaeus, who was the bishop, not of New Smyrna, but the bishop of Smyrna, way back, he was discipled by Polycarp, who was the bishop of Smyrna. And Polycarp said this, he was arrested, and at age 86, he was put in front of all these lions. And everyone else is like, why are you singing when all these lions are coming into the Colosseum? Because for him, he knew that that wasn't the end of him. It was the beginning of life. It was the entrance into immortality. You can read the testimony of Christians throughout the centuries. Because of the doctrine of the resurrection, you can have joy. You can have love. You can have faith and trust. So, Lord, we thank you that one word changes everything. Speak to us, Christ, the way that you only can speak to us. And Lord, as we come to this table, we're reminded that at the beginning of the book, there were those fateful words that serpent said to Eve, take and eat. And because of that, death and sin entered our world. But then you, Lord Jesus, said to us, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. So Lord, as we come to your table, may we be filled with your spirit. May we be reminded of the truth of the resurrection, that as you live, so too shall we live. Amen.